Are you pursuing your bigger purpose? Stay with us now for Bold Steps with Mark Job.
And oftentimes what keeps us from achieving anything significant in life is we look at the price tag and we say, whoa, that's expensive. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, significance and the bigger purposes of God in your life will cost you something, and there will be a price to pay. Don't be afraid to pay it.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job, President of Moody Bible Institute and also Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, today we're continuing our series on how to keep first things first by getting our life priorities aligned with God's priorities. And let's be honest, it's not easy. It is a daily battle. And Mark, you've been explaining that when we keep the issues at the center of all we do, our life's purpose will begin to change.
Yeah, our life's purpose will begin to change and we will start living with significance.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's important to understand that there is a price to pay to live on purpose.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul doesn't shy away from that. He's telling us, hey, there is an incredible purpose that God has for your life, but there will be a price to pay in God. And it could be sometimes painful, but it's worth the pain.
That's what I'm thinking about. It is worth it. It'll always be worth it. All right, let's get to the message now. Living your bigger purpose. Here's Pastor Mark Job.
How many of you know that you can be successful in life but never do anything significant? Well, let me say that again. How many of you know that from all practical perspectives, as people look at you, you can be a success? And you can achieve success in life without ever doing anything significant with your life. Because success and significance are two different things. And some people have climbed the ladder of success but have never done anything significant of transcendent value in their life that will endure into eternity, that has any impact beyond the 70 years of their life. And so the Apostle Paul is tackling that very issue in Colossians chapter 1. And he says, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. I'm looking at verse 24 of Colossians chapter 1. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. If you're taking notes this morning, I'm going to give you four insights into beginning to live your bigger purpose. Moving from your small purpose, not abandoning your small purpose, but moving from your small purpose to your big purpose. Number one, you need to keep in mind that your bigger purpose will demand a personal price that you must be willing to pay. There is a price tag with significance. You will never achieve anything that's worth value without paying a price for it. Things of significance cost us something. They have a price tag. And oftentimes what keeps us from achieving anything significant in life is we look at the price tag and we say, whoa, that's expensive. I think I'll go for the cheaper thing. I'll get more of it, just cheaper. I don't want the one that costs this much. I'll stay at the lower prices. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, significance and the bigger purposes of God in your life will cost you something, and there will be a price to pay. Don't be afraid to pay it. Verse 25 says, the Apostle Paul says, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. And in my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Let me talk to you for a second about suffering. Because I believe that we have a reaction against suffering. We live lives that oftentimes we're allergic to suffering. And oftentimes we don't talk about it much. In fact, we like to sanitize life. Especially in the American culture that we live in, suffering is something we try not to think about, we try to avoid, we don't want to see, we try to compartmentalize suffering because we don't want it around us, we don't want to see it. If someone is sick, we put them in the hospital, and many of you don't visit the hospital because you don't want to be around suffering and sickness and disease. Some of you, while you're watching the television and some commercial pops up of a little kid with a bloated stomach and little flies flying around their eyes, in Ethiopia, you quickly change the channel because you don't want to see suffering. You'd rather not think about it. In the city of Chicago, in an average year, we have between 600 to 700 homicides, most of them being young Latino kids or African-American kids in our neighborhoods. It's so common that it barely makes the news. The neighborhood paper, the subsection of the paper. And oftentimes we don't even want to look at it because we don't want to think about suffering. We don't want to see the face. It reminds us there's pain in life. And we want to avoid suffering at any cost all we can because we want to live under this delusion that there is very little suffering in life and we can avoid suffering if we just live our life well. In other countries and other places, you go to a funeral and even the bodies, we really decorate the bodies, right? How many of you have gone to funeral and awake and you say, whoa, she looks good. She never looked that good when she was alive. Man, does she look good. We don't want to remind people that death takes the blood out of our system, that death vanquishes life from our body. We don't want to think about those things. In other countries, there are less protections against the reality of suffering. I've been to Africa. Mozambique, Africa. And you walk along the streets of Africa and you can see suffering out in the streets. I've been to an orphanage where the kids ran around with open sores on their head and on their face because they were HIV positive. I've walked into rooms where we would never have those rooms here in America. Not a hospital, just beds. I've been in those rooms where rooms full of dying mothers. No medicine. No IV. No nice whitewashed hospital room. Just dying mothers with a cover over them. Gaunt, waiting on their bed until the angel of death takes them. You walk out on the streets and you see kids missing a leg. And you see people that are in starvation because they have no filters to protect them from suffering and death. It's evident. It's visible to all. We seclude ourselves. We protect ourselves. We try to act like it's not there. But let me tell you something. Life has pain. There's pain in life. A part of life involves suffering. And you can avoid it, you can act like it's not there, you can walk by it and close your eyes, or you can say, I understand that it's part of life. And there's times in life where we actually embrace suffering. You know, we've gotten good at it, right? Hey, some of you pop the painkiller pills because you have a little backache. And you say, I'm going to pop it because I have a backache and I got a little headache, so I'm going to pop it. And the next day you say, I'm just going to pop it just in case I have a pain. And so you're popping pills just to make sure you don't have to face any pain. Hey, when my daughter was born, I prepared for the birth of my daughter, and I was with my daughter and was supposed to be her coach and rub her back and hold her hand and help her through the process of pain. And after 20-some hours of labor, she had gone through a lot of pain. And finally, they gave her an epidural and took the baby out. So the next time around, I had a conversation with my wife, and she said, honey, this time, I don't want you to rub my back. I don't want you to hold my hand. I don't want you to help me breathe. You have one job. When you get to the hospital, as fast as you can, I want you to find the anesthesiologist, and I want you to get me an epidural as fast as you can. That is your one job. And I said, yes, ma'am. We're finding ways to overcome pain. And it strikes us in light of that environment that we live in, it strikes us as extremely strange and rare and hard to comprehend that the Apostle Paul would say, I rejoice in what was suffered for you, or I rejoice in my suffering for you. How can you rejoice in suffering? He's in the middle of a prison and he says, man, I am rejoicing that I am able to experience some suffering on your behalf. And he says, and I fill up in my flesh. I'm filling up in my flesh. He's talking about suffering. What is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction. This is a hard verse to understand. Paul says, I fill up suffering in me for what was lacking in Christ's suffer.
And Mark will return in a moment to explain what Paul means about filling up in suffering. You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, the beginning of a lesson about living your bigger purpose. Mark, before we continue the message, though, I want to talk for a moment about the latest Bold Stepper Weekly, which many listeners who have asked for it got this morning in their mailbox. You talk about a time when you didn't necessarily feel called to the pastorate.
Yeah, this message is about purpose, and I believe that everybody has a purpose. I happen to have stepped into the pastorate and teaching and leading, but I didn't always believe that that is what I should be doing. In fact, if you were to ask me as a student at Moody Bible Institute if I was going to be a pastor, I'd have said, no, I'm not a pastor type. But, you know, God has his ways and purposes, and God can direct us in ways that you never imagined, actually, because it's not about your talent. It's about him working in you.
Yeah, I love the thought of giving people time and room to find that calling. You needed that.
I did need that, and it took me a while to discover it. And I never thought that I would be doing what I'm doing now, but God works in mysterious ways.
Indeed. Well, this is what I love about the Bold Stepper Weekly. We get a little more personal look at you, Mark, and the ministry that God has called you to. So thanks for putting this together. There's a devotional thought there as well in the Bold Stepper Weekly. And you can sign up for this. It comes automatically. No cost, no obligation for this. Just sign up at boldstepsradio.org. And as a bonus feature now in the Bold Stepper Weekly, you get the Bold Steps Minute. It's embedded right there in the weekly, so subscribe at boldstepsradio.org. All right, let's get back to the message now, titled Living Your Bigger Purpose.
Now, let me tell you what it means and what it doesn't mean. First of all, it doesn't mean that Christ didn't suffer enough, and so Paul has to suffer for what Christ was deficient in, because the suffering of Christ was all sufficient for our salvation. Okay, that's clear. And there are people that don't understand that. There are people that try to indulge in penance and try to cause their own body to suffer because they don't understand that what Christ suffered was enough to forgive them. And I've seen people that have crawled on their knees for miles and miles in gravel, stone, and have bloody knees, and they've beaten their back until their back is bruised and red and bloody because they feel terrible over sin they've committed, and they're trying to find the grace of God, and they feel like, I need to punish myself for the sins that I've committed. And if I can punish myself enough, if I can suffer enough, maybe then maybe my sins can be atoned for. And let me tell you, that is not God's way. In fact, although they're well-meaning in their pursuit of forgiveness, it's like slapping Jesus in the face and saying, the suffering that you had was not enough. I got to make myself suffer. So you never, there's no such thing in the scripture as penance for your sin. And some of you may not walk on your knees like that, but you're punishing yourself in other ways. Some of you are embarrassed. You feel guilty and bad for how you've lived and decisions that you've made in your past, and you punish yourself. You verbally punish yourself. You're critical of yourself. I'm a dummy. I can never do this. And you feel like you deserve bad because you need to make up for all the bad that you've done. And I want to say what Christ has forgiven, He's forgiven. You can't punish yourself for the past. Don't try to punish yourself for the past. Jesus took the punishment Himself, and it's all sufficient. You need to grasp that and understand that. Stop punishing yourself. Stop punishing yourself. And we do it in a lot of different ways. We punish ourselves in a lot of different ways. So what does it mean when Paul says, I am taking on this suffering to fulfill what Jesus started on earth, the afflictions of Christ on earth? What it means, he says the key thing to understand is he's doing it for the church, for the body. What Paul was saying is he wasn't trying to help in his salvation. He was suffering so that what Jesus started on earth, which was the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, could be continued through believers after them. The proclamation of the gospel, as we advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, we may have to pay a price so that other people can hear the good news. Do you realize that? We live in a country where we have a lot of freedom, right? We enjoy freedom here. And there is no one that walked in this church that had to look over their shoulder to see if the secret police was following. We don't have lookouts at our doors afraid that some police may invade us and drag us to jail because we're worshiping in Jesus' name. We don't have to get on some Facebook account and look at some code to see where our next home group meeting is going to be to avoid detection by the authorities, because we live right now in a free country. But that is not the case all over the world. Do you realize that right now in China that there are pastors and Christian leaders that are serving jail sentences right now? Their crime? Leading a Bible study. Preaching the gospel. And they are viewed as enemies of the state. Convicted in mock trials. Do you realize that right now in India, there are literally have been thousands of Christians that have been burned out of their homes and suffered abuse, rape, violence, beating for their Christianity because of ethnic and religious controversy over the dominant Hindus and the minority of the Christians that live there? Do you realize that there are people dying right now because of their faith in other parts of the world? So let us not take for granted the freedom that God has given us. And although we live with a lot of freedom and we have tons of opportunity, Let's make sure that we don't forget the suffering church, our brothers and sisters, people that claim the same God and follow the same Savior and lift up their hands in the same way that we do and open the same kind of Bibles that we do, yet without the liberty and freedom that we have at this place. We need to be saying, thank you, God, for our freedom. Amen? Yet the Apostle Paul reminds us, as we pursue our big purpose, he reminds us not to be afraid of suffering, because some of us will endure suffering. In fact, you may not understand this or know this, but suffering goes along with our call to be believers in Jesus Christ. Now, let me read you a couple of verses here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 21, it says, "But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this end you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. "I want you to know Christ and the power of his resurrection," listen, "and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Scripture says, "But unto you is given not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." What am I saying? Here's simply what I'm saying. Do you think that if Jesus, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, was rejected, criticized, ill-spoken of, beaten, ostracized, and ultimately crucified, what makes you think that his followers are going to be at the top of the chart of popularity? Let me tell you, Jesus said he is the narrow way. And there is a broad way, and it's easier, and there's more room, and you can do what you want, but the end thereof is destruction, is the way of death. And there's a narrow way. It's a harder way. It's a tougher way. You have to squeeze through it, but that narrow way is the way that leads to life and life eternal. You need to remember that. Now, it doesn't mean you wish suffering upon yourself, but it means that you're willing to pay the price if you have to.
That's the first half of a message from Mark Jobe titled Living Your Bigger Purpose here on Bold Steps. Before we come back tomorrow for the conclusion of our message, we encourage you to check out some of the faith-building tools and opportunities we're sharing with our listeners over on our website, which is boldstepsradio.org. One of the more popular resources we're offering is our latest Bold Steps gift. It's a specially selected guidebook on the subject of marriage. And to tell us more about it, here again is Mark.
It's true that marriage takes work. And if we're being honest, it can sometimes take a lot of work. But believe me, a healthy and happy marriage is worth the fight. And so to help you put in the time and effort that your marriage deserves, Dr. Gary Chapman wrote a book called A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage. With biblically based questions, practices, and discussion topics, this unique Bold Step gift is a perfect tool to help you build a meaningful Bible study for you and your spouse, or with a group of other married couples to share in the growth process together. So if you want to start growing your marriage into the glorious and joyous union God intended it to be, ask for Dr. Chapman's book, A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage. When you give a gift of any amount to support this ministry, we've made it quick and easy to give at our website at boldstepsradio.org.
Thank you, Mark. You can also give your donation and ask for A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage by calling us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. And if you'd rather send your gift in the mail, let me give you that address. It's simply Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Before we close, I want to remind you that if you ever miss one of these programs on the radio, or you're looking for an easier way to listen to Mark's messages while you're out for a walk or taking care of some errands, you can find each of these Bold Steps messages on our podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast platform, search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe, and tap the subscribe button. Or listen to the program through the Moody Radio app on your smartphone or Alexa-enabled device. Download the free app and search for Bold Steps Radio to access all of Mark's sermons. For more details and all the different ways you can listen, visit our website, boldstepsradio.org. Well, that brings us to the end of our program. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Tomorrow, Mark continues our lesson on living your bigger purpose. We're learning how to find our God-given assignment in life. That's Tuesday, here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.